A young girl weeps in a far distant land. She has no one to show her God's love, no mother or father to wipe away her tears. She cries out in the night alone. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll go to dry that young girl's tears. I'll serve you no matter where the path may lead. Lord, please bury my heart. A mother grieves for her starving child. She has no shelter from the cold. Earthly provisions will ease their suffering, but who will feed their empty souls? Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. I'll give the gospel to these suffering ones. I'll go wherever you want me to go. Lord, please bury my heart. Will you ignore these lost souls in the night? Can you hear their pleading cries? They're begging for someone to show them the way. We must go before another one dies. Bury my heart on the mission field, Lord. These distant voices won't fade away. I'll do your will, whatever the cost. Lord, please bury my heart. Lord, please give me your heart.
Amen. Well, this is quite a surprise. We call this in the Navy and the military a shotgun. When they say, yo, you got to give a speech. What? Me? All right. So I'm going to just speak to you, preach to you about a very familiar subject tonight. I'm going to try to make it simple tonight, obviously for one reason. I really didn't prepare, you know, for this particular message, but this is a very familiar passage that I think we can easily be understood, and then we can all learn from. And I pray to God that He would, you know, be a blessing to all of us and challenge us. And every word of God is pure anyway. All scripture is given by inspiration of God anyway. So what we're going to do, we're just going to go open up the book and look at passages, look at the Word of God, and let the Word of God speak to us. So if you would please open your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, we're just going to read verse 22. If you would stand, please. Verse 22. You know what, we'll start with verse 20. Verse 20, If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
20. The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people, am I hurt? I am black. Astonishment had taken hold on me. Here's a question. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, that we depend on you tonight, we ask that you please take control, bless your word, lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, magnify thy word, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. It starts with this verse, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. How many of you are familiar with the Lord's statement in the New Testament about the harvest? How the harvest is white, the field is white, ready for harvest. How many of you are familiar with that passage, with that verse? When the Lord Jesus Christ looked and he told his disciples, looked on the fields, he said, truly, the harvest is white. It's ready. Here's the question. The harvest is past. As you know, as we get closer to the Lord's return, and I hope he does return very, very soon, and I pray tonight. Amen. Aren't you tired of just living just the cycle of life? Work, home, eat, work again. You know, do all those things and all the stresses of life. Got to take care of my responsibilities. I got to deal with sins again. Got to go ahead and pray to be forgiven of those sins again. And then go ahead and repeat the same things. And you have to deal with your bosses. Have to think about, you know, how to make money so you can provide food for your family. You know, how you think about how you're going to deal with your boss again the next day. About your health. About so many things and issues that we hear about, not only in politics and in the news, and so many things going on in the world. Aren't you tired of those things? I get tired of those things. Even some of the so-called pleasures of life, I get so worn out. Don't you? Because knowing that those pleasures are just temporary. But here's a statement here. Harvest is past and the summer is ended. And we are not saved. You know that there will come a time that it's going to be too late. Let's talk about it from the sinner's perspective. If you are not saved tonight, for those so many millions of people who are not saved and still just putting it off, knowing that they need to be saved, they need to deal with their sin, they need to come to the Lord, but they just put it off and wait and wait and wait, thinking they have all this time in the world. There will come a time that it's going to be too late. Maybe because of death, tragedy, some sort of accident of health. There will come a time that it's going to be too late for those people. Maybe for you if you're not saved tonight. Don't ever think that you have tonight. You might not wake up tomorrow morning. Just because you're young, just because you're probably in a good health right now. Maybe you have insurance, thinking that your health insurance can cover you You can go to the hospital and they can take care of you. You're counting on those things. Don't you ever count on those things, because the harvest may be past. Summer may be over for you. Bible says there, we are not saved. There will come a time that you as Christians, you've been putting off living for the Lord. Maybe you're not taking things seriously. Maybe you're just thinking that Christianity is just, you know, coming to church and just doing some sort of things, and that's enough. But someday it'll be too late. Maybe tonight, maybe today is just your very last opportunity to really serve the Lord. But you know in the deepest part of your heart that you haven't really done enough. Not even close to being what we ought to do for the Lord. But you know, in the outward appearance, people can see that you're doing well as a Christian. No, there will come a time that opportunity will just go behind us. Here's again the statement: the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Take a look at this. Astonishment had taken hold on me. You can sense the feeling of pain. Don't you sense the feeling of hurt from this verse? You know that there are people that are hurting. You may be on the outward. You may be doing okay. You may like to pretend that you're doing fine. But you know that deep inside your hearts, you know that there's something wrong. That maybe you're in pain emotionally, maybe psychologically. Maybe you're dealing with stress with your relationship, with your family. But more importantly, maybe you're not right with God. And you're in pain, and you know it. You are in pain emotionally, but more importantly, spiritually. As a child of God, you may not be right. You can pretend all you want, but you cannot lie to God. It says, for the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. There is pain. Verse 22, take a look. Here's a question. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no way to heal the hurt? Is there no way to reach the lost people? Is there no way to solve all these problems that we're facing today? Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? You know, one of the reasons why we're having so much problems in even within Christianity today is because of lack of preachers who are true and faithful to the Word of God. Compromise. You know, they're more concerned about numbers. Or maybe, let me go to the other end of that. Just because you're small doesn't mean you're spiritual. So don't you think because you're small, you're all of a sudden you're spiritual. More spiritual than the others. It could be the other way around. So you have to watch that. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Can we find a solution? Can we find an answer anywhere? Is there a solution? So if there is, and a lot of people profess to be the solver of a lot of the problems of humanity, if you just open your ears, open your eyes and look everywhere, and you can see people have so many solutions, so many programs, so many so-called you know, all kinds of, you name it, clubs, anonymous clubs, that's any ways and methods that profess to help people's condition. So why then, with all these so many solutions that's being put out there, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Why is it then that with all these solutions, all these programs, you know, big churches all over the place, many, many programs, many entertainments, you know, government programs, social programs, even religious programs. Why is it then that the health, the sickly condition of the people has not been recovered? Let me tell you why. Let's take a look at this. We're going to just break this apart and then take a look at some of the reasons why the health, the sickly condition of people is not recovered. Take a look at verse 19. Verse 19, "Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country." Look at that. "The voice of the cry of the daughter of my people. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her?" They're asking. Look at the last question. I think this is more important. This is what pertains to us nowadays, even more so today. "Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities?" And I'm not talking about the graven images of the Catholic Church. I'm just not talking about the images that's being worshipped in the Latin Americas. I'm talking about vanities. You know that today people are so consumed with their own images. Social media. Health stuff. People are just so consumed with what's going to make them look good. How do I look good before my friends? Before my church, my fellow church members, before my co-workers, do I look good? What's the new fad today for me to eat, to drink? It's all about me, 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 me. You're just so focused on us. Vanity. You know why people are not being healed of their real condition? Because instead of being God-centered, we have become self-centered. One of the signs of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is that men shall be lovers of themselves. We seek pleasures of men. We seek to please men. It's all about what's in it for us, what's good for us, what makes us feel good. Whenever we find ourselves so consumed with whatever it is, material things, with us, more consumed of those things than we are consumed of the Word of God, of our relationship with the Lord, we are vain. We are idolaters. We have replaced God in our hearts with us. Tell me if I'm wrong. Why have they provoked me to anger? And I'm not just talking about non-believers. It's understood that non-believers are all going to be about themselves. But I'm talking tonight about believers. Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with strange vanities? And I'm preaching to myself as well. And I just imagine the amount of time that I spend on things that don't even matter for eternity. It's frightening. And we say we're Christians, followers of Christ. And we say we love the Lord. But we don't spend time. Our life is not centered on the Lord, whom we profess to love. Aside from that, I want you to take a look. Go over to verse 5 real quick. Go over to verse 5. Verse 5. Read with me. Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. They refuse to return. But look at that phrase, perpetual backsliding. Let me tell you, an unsaved person who doesn't care much about God, who doesn't know God, has no capacity to backslide. Backsliding only applies to someone who's once right. So I believe that this is really for us. I am not saying that we have no capacity to backslide. We are all capable of it. I am not saying that just because you're a Christian, you're all walking perfectly before the Lord, that you will never ever sin all your life. I am not saying that. I'm just saying here that's why he doesn't say backsliding only. The other word is called, it says here, perpetual. That means over and over and over again. And I hate to say this, and this is not the right analogy, but you know about the dog returning to his vomit? Because we're not dogs, so it's really not a good analogy, but it's a good illustration nevertheless. We Christians, knowing what is right, sometimes makes it an excuse that God is a forgiving God anyway. That God, you know what, is merciful, recovered by the blood. We have been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and thank God for that. But sometimes we use that as the excuse for constantly, knowingly, and deliberately going back and forth to sin, confess. It's called perpetual backsliding. That is a problem. You know why people are not being healed? Our testimony is no longer credible. You know why the Lord is no longer using us as Christians to really deliver awakening? It's because the life of a Christian has gone from being a genuine Christian into something like just like the world. Perpetual backsliding. And here's another thing. There's that perpetual backsliding. And you know what the root of that is? Take a look at verse 6. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? No man repented. There's no more true repentance in our hearts. Because of that constant excuse of just going back and forth, on and off with the Lord, on and off with the Lord. Aren't you tired of that? When there's a besetting sin, you know it's got a hold of you and you just give it up. I'm not saying grievous sin. Maybe it's as simple as not being faithful in reading your word, the word of God in the morning, day in and day out. You have given up because you're thinking you're tired. You're old, too old to be spending time in prayer and talking with the Lord and reading your word, praying for somebody, really having a good relationship with the Lord. You've already gotten tired. You're worn out. Your flesh tells you, I'm tired, Lord. Give me a slack. I know you can forgive me. And you know what? Next thing you know, there's no more repentance of that. Even as simple as that. And you know what Christians have done also? You know, look at verse 7. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times. The stork. And the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. They know what they ought to do. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. Because we have grown weary of really having that relationship that we once had with the Lord the first time we got saved. Do you remember how sweet that was? When we first got saved, I can remember how exciting, how we were just so on fire, how we couldn't wait to read our Bible in the morning and at night to be able to witness to somebody, talk to them about the Lord. That was so sweet. How is this exciting? It was just, you know, we had so much energy whenever we talk about subjects from the Bible, topics about the Lord. Whenever we talk about them, discuss them with our friends, with our loved ones, how we get so excited, we get fired up. As if the Lord was just, that's it. He's our whole world. But now, my people know not the judgment of the Lord. You know why? We got busy. We've grown weary, tired. No longer have that repentance in our hearts. We just, you know what? What the heck? We just go back and forth anyway. Sin, confess, okay. What's the big deal? So a fire went out. No more excited, not anymore excited about reading God's word. And next thing you know, lack of knowledge. We don't know God's word anymore. But then we learn about sports, news, and so many other things in life. We know more about those things more than God's word. And that's why people are no longer healed. Even Christians are no longer moved. That fire went out. The love for the word went out. And I want to point you to the last one here. Not just that the fire went out, and there's so much more stuff here. But just want to point out things that apply to us here. Verse 12. Slide to verse 12. Another question. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Neither could they blush. The question is, Were they ashamed? That's a question for you and me. Were we ashamed? The question is, do we still blush? That's a very plain question. Do we still blush whenever that relationship with the Lord is broken? And I'm not talking about the sonship, that kind of relationship that will never go away because of our salvation through Christ. I'm talking about that relationship with the Lord as a child. As His child, that relationship with the Lord, that testimony, that joy with Him, the joy of God that we feel because we are right with Him. We are walking with Him. Do we still feel ashamed whenever we break that bond? Do we still blush whenever we're confronted with sin, knowing that it is sin against our Holy Father? I think what needs to happen is that we need to bring and restore that ability that natural tendency for us to blush once again. To have that natural tendency once more to feel ashamed whenever we break that relationship with our Father. And if you find yourself dwelling in sin and not feeling that shame and blush, you ought to deal with that tonight. So the question, is there no balm in Gilead? Is no one else to blame? Can't blame politics. Can't blame the government, Republican, Democrat, or military policies, or anything like that. You can't blame your wife, your husband. You can't even blame your children. You can't blame your parents for that. The blame lies in us. We need to restore that ability to be ashamed once again, to stop that perpetual backsliding, to fall in love with the Lord once again and His Word. All right, let us stand for prayer. With our heads bowed and eyes closed. The piano playing. Let us think of that for a moment, that simple message. Are you in that condition today? Maybe you've been a Christian for a while, but you feel that you're no longer effective for the Lord. Maybe you're just playing the game, thinking that performance equates to spirituality. You are wrong. Just because you can perform doesn't mean you're right with the Lord. What you can do in front of people is really not the same as what you're doing for the Lord. Maybe on the outward you're doing great, but if there's sin that you need to deal with, you keep going back to, you need to stop. Stop that perpetual backsliding and ask the Lord for strength. Ask the Lord to restore that fellowship, that love, that relationship you once had, going back to the day when you first got saved. Age is not an excuse. Health problems not an excuse. Work is not an excuse. Family troubles not an excuse. Maybe those are troubles because you're spending more time on things that don't matter for eternity. Let's continue in prayer, but just for a few minutes while the piano plays.
I got a lot of points from that message too. thank you for preaching. Every now and then I need to hear preaching too, so I needed that too. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for that message, that a reminder that the Christian life is truly a battle, a tug of war with the flesh and the spirit. Father, we rely on you for strength. We rely on you for comfort. I pray the Lord God that if there's anyone here that's has been discouraged lately, has been discouraged in the Christian life, has been discouraged by other brothers and sisters in Christ, may this word that were spoken tonight encourage them to continue. May you encourage us, Lord God, to keep on serving you. Help us to look forward to your second coming. But Father, help us to be reminded just from the text that there is a world out there that is sorrowful. There's a world out there that's hurting. There's a world out there that's in vain. And there's a world out there that's condemned because of sin. Help us to bring to them the balm of Gilead, and that is your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to be a light to this world. Help us to be a light and a salt in this earth. Help us to keep the doors and the lights of this building, this church, open, that the world may see that there is a balm in Gilead by the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to carry the torch, strengthen us, and mold us, empower us to be used by you. Dismiss us with your blessings now. Pray for the carpet work tomorrow, throughout this whole weekend. Pray for the Kimbas and the trustees also, as they deal with the upgrades in the building. But Father, more importantly, help us to, I pray for our Sunday morning services, that you bring more visitors to our church, that you help us to encourage one another. Dismiss us now with your blessing. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.